Welcome to A Spiro Life for August 1st, 2011. The intention with A Spiro Life is to share with you the latest and most up-to-date insights of the changes taking place on our planet. We invite your feedback and comments as to what could assist you as we move towards this collective awakening on our planet. If gaining deeper insight into your life is something you value, I would be happy to assist you. My practice focuses on people understanding themselves and those around them at a much deeper level. Through numerology and astrology, we examine the patterns, conditions, and people at play in your life to help you understand your divine path and fully embrace the changes taking place in you and around you. My website is www.aspirolifestyle.ca for more information. On with today's show. I am excited and giggling before it even starts. We're speaking today with Cal Garrison, who all of you know. Cal's the editor-in-chief at The Spirit of Matt. And Cal and I talk often about what the heck is taking place with our astrology background and connections. We get to share a lot. And so when we were feeling, like most of you are, that what the heck is going on, that we're in this limbo state, Cal and I decided to get together and just share what we have been hearing and experiencing. Cal has some information directly from Drenvalo that a lot of you are going to be interested in. But we just thought we'd make this show about what is going on and what it looks like is transpiring through August and September. So welcome, Cal.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
Yeah.
Great. It's going to be an exciting show.
I don't know what's going to happen here. How can we talk? How are we going to? I feel like I'm already tripping over myself with what I want to say.
Nope.
You know, my heart's beating very fast. I got to slow down. Yeah, so where do you want to start, Cirilla?
Take one deep breath. Well, I think we'll start with just, you know, expressing a little bit about what we're both seeing, you know, with your experience with the Spirit of Matt and the connections that you have, and, you know, my clients and my contacts that I have. We were just saying earlier about how people are really questioning, you know, what the heck is going on. I think I gave you the example last week when we were speaking about we feel like we're in this really long, long labor, and we're just anxious to see what the baby looks like. And you were expressing that, you know, you haven't really read anything new from anybody at this point. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, this is, I think it feels like for the last 6 or 8 months, it's and like we've been hanging around in limbo, and Fukushima sort of threw some interest into things. But, you know, when I look back on what's happened ever since they blew up the Deepwater Horizon well, we look at that, we look at Fukushima, we look at the earthquakes and all the crazy things that have been going, it's so definite that something's up. But nobody, you know, all of the aficionados who are busy sort of pontificating about the 2012 thing haven't really come up with anything new. I mean, I troll those sites and look into what those people are saying all the time, and basically they're saying different versions of the same thing with no clear focus. And the thing that really has hit me in the last few days is that finally some information came through about what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know where to start, because it all started with, let's see, it all started with the crystal skulls all coming together, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've talked about the crystal skull phenomenon before. There's tons of them floating around the planet, but there's only 13 that are the authentic ones. And the 13th skull finally came in from Tibet, all right? I saw photographs of this thing, and this is sort of a completion of a prophecy where the Tibetans were supposed to reconnect with the Mayans and the Native American tribes. And this skull has been returned. Now, that was like maybe a couple of months ago. I don't know. Like, we always get the news through Drenvalo, and he gets it after the fact, because the Mayans and the elders are talking to him. But when this skull returned, I knew it was momentous because, of course, this ceremony had to be performed that would allow the spirits that had been held inside these skulls for so many eons to ceremonially ceremonially be brought out of the skulls and enter the spirits of the shaman who have been chosen as guardians for them, so that the information, okay, that those spirits held, okay, inside those skulls for eons is now sort of available, and the reason we need to access it is because they have all the information that we need to know right now about how to go interdimensional, all right, and what actually happens when all hell breaks loose on this planet, because we're right there. And according to the elders, what's happening is that this comet that everybody's been speculating about, Comet Elenin, you know, they've come forward and said, okay, that comet is coming through, and that they have a specific date in the next few months that it's supposed to hit the planet, and that information coincides with everything that NASA, and I think it's the Navy or the Air Force, whichever branch of the U.S. government has all that kind of secret knowledge. I forget which one it is. I think it's the Navy. I'm not sure. But those people know exactly the same thing. So what's going on right now, all right, is that there are ceremonies that are going down with the elders that are, you know, because I feel like I'm being so inarticulate because I'm so excited about this. I don't know how to talk about it, really. There are ceremonies going on right now. As you know, this is the season for ceremonies. There's a period of time between the last week of July and the first week of August, the Sundance, the All Thing, Lunasa, Lamas, all of these things are going down right now. And so I don't know what's up with the Mayan traditions, but I'm pretty sure this is what they're doing. And the elders that have been chosen to hold this knowledge and transmit it, you know, are the ones that have been incarnating for millions of years, whose spirits have the job of just maintaining the planet in a state of equilibrium. And their form of magic is something I'm not familiar with, but every time there is a crisis, they have bailed us out, you know, through whatever it is that they do. And so right now, they're going in ceremony to try to understand, A, exactly when this comet is supposed to come through, and B, what it is that they need to do from a magical perspective to deflect it. Now, all of this, to anybody who isn't familiar with these things, would sound like totally fantastic.
Right.
But to me, you know, this is the only piece of information we've had to go on, really, since the blue star appeared, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening is that when these ceremonies are over, there are 40 elders who are going to be taking the skulls on a pilgrimage that starts in New York City, okay, on the day that the comet is supposed to hit, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they are going to go on a pilgrimage across the United States, across the old Native American migration route, across the Serpent Mounds, to various points on the grid here in the United States. I know they're going to be in Sedona. I know they're going to be in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they were planning on making a trip across the Serpent Mounds, but the elders have said that the potential for cataclysm is such that they may rearrange their route and try to keep these buses, you know, steering over higher ground, because the general consensus is, okay, it's time to pack up and move to higher ground. And I've heard from different people that there, a lot of these young indigos are already starting to make caravans, and they're making their way across the United States. But the whole thing with this is that if we get hit by the comet, it'll basically be like, well, good, that's it, we're gone in 60 seconds. If it misses us, okay, there's still going to be a huge amount of upheaval. And according to the elders, the last time this happened, okay, the tidal wave that came about as a result of it was so huge that it went all the way from the Atlantic coastline to the Rocky Mountains, and when it receded, it just wiped everything off the continental shelf.
Right.
So,
well, my,
so we've got this to think about now. I mean, that's a mouthful, isn't it? You know, and it's
huge.
Everything pales in comparison because, you know, I have been messing around looking into the things that they're doing, you know, what really went on over in Fukushima. I was trying to diagnose what's going on now, you know, along the Missouri River. You know, they're fracking the ground along the Mississippi River. They're actually fracking the ground all over the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It looked to me like they were trying to engineer another disaster so they could split up the U.S. and send everybody into their FEMA camps. But this is a whole other ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to me because the people who are behind this, okay, when we heard about the idea that the elders now, part of their prophecy, a part of their fulfillment of whatever their ceremonial process is, involves them absolutely needing to be in certain places at certain times with these skulls, okay, so that certain things can happen. And I just lost my train of thought. This is so funny.
Well, that's okay. Well, you've lost your train of thought, I'm going to interject here for a second. So is it that, because this is a question that's coming up for me. I know in Dernvalo's book, The Serpent of Light, things started in Tibet. What you're talking about, this caravan starting in New York, is there a reason specifically that it's beginning in the United States, in that location?
Yes, because the United States is going to catch the brunt of this.
Okay.
And New York City is going to be the front line.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing these ceremonies, and they're going, you know, these guys are going to, you know, the scene of the crime on the day that it's supposed to happen as a demonstration to themselves of the, you know, whatever it is that they were able to deflect. Because, I mean, it takes a lot of courage to know what's going to happen and put yourself in the face of it.
Right.
Anyway, and trust that the magic that you performed ahead of time is going to take care of it. All right. Isn't it?
It's incredible. Are the indigenous people, asking or encouraging, you know, everyone else to do anything in particular?
I think right now, what they're telling everybody is head for the hills.
Right.
To be quite honest with you, you know, it's unless you totally trust your connection to spirit and know how to navigate the heart space, you know, you might want to think about getting to higher ground. I think what they're also saying is that anything we do, any communal effort, you know, to uplift things is not going to do any harm. You know, I think a lot of people with good intentions are doing all kinds of ceremonies. I mean, I hear about this all the time. So there's nothing wrong with doing that at all. But, mm-hmm. you know, from the standpoint of physical safety, God knows what's going to happen here.
Right.
You know, I got a bunch of kids on the East Coast. I'm trying to figure out what to do about that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting when you talk to people. It's like people are... You know, there's so much Prozac in the drinking water now. You can tell people these things, and it's like you're just handing them a piece of bubble gum or something. They don't really know what to do with the information, you know. Have you noticed that?
I have noticed that. Well, you know, I mean, you and I have both discussed that in general, you know, we see people around us because I guess like attracts like, that are awakening or becoming aware that there's a shift and, you know, to their own divine power. But in general, you look at the rest of the world and it's just kind of tugging along. And so you say to yourself, okay, there has to be something, some event, you know, and unfortunately there's been these, even though fairly dramatic and drastic events, but regionalized in certain areas, whether you're talking about the Gulf or Fukushima or what just happened in Norway, and it doesn't seem to, we've become so numb.
Yeah.
Through our media, that it doesn't really seem to shift anybody or people in any large capacity. So then you say to yourself, okay, as human nature, you know, we're 11th hour people, we kind of have to always go right down to the wire. And what needs to happen in order for everybody to kind of wake up and smell the cappuccino?
I love it. Well, you know, it's funny. Go ahead.
So when you're saying this, it makes sense that there would be an event like this that we would, you know, that would be required in order for people to really kind of get it. But one of the things, the questions I had for you was, is this tied in some way, when you're saying the last time it happened, is it tied at all to the precession of the equinox, the 25,000 something year cycle? It is. Okay.
Yeah. Isn't everything?
Well, I believe so, but because they weren't able to identify it, however many thousand.
Well, you know, it's funny, when you're talking to the Mayans or you're talking to any of the indigenous people, their whole way of relating to things is completely different than ours. So when the information comes through, a lot of times it seems vague to us because there's nothing, you know, it's kind of non-specific, but what's interesting about this phenomenon right now is that the government knows what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there is no news of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think maybe as sort of a highlight on the nightly news, they might mention about something, about a comet, you know, and do it with sort of tongue-in-cheek or like, isn't this freaky kind of thing, but they're not really getting to the heart of the matter. And I think the reason for that is they don't want this news to get out in the same way they didn't want any of the information about UFOs to get out 20, 30, 40 years ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they think it's going to upset everybody's belief system, it's going to cause all kinds of panic, and right now I think the panic factor is what they're concerned about,
mm-hmm.
you know. But at the same time, I mean, if you do the research, they've invested billions of our dollars into these very, very elaborate underground bunkers that are big enough to house thousands of people and are fully stocked with everything people need to survive for up to I don't know how long, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, those things are reserved only for the elite, and we don't know who those people are because they're not us.
Mm-hmm.
And my hunch about those people is like, well, if it's true, like the last specific date that I heard that this comet was going to zap us is October 1st, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And there is disagreement about that. Right now, I think what's going to happen is these ceremonies that are being performed down in the jungle are going to reveal more specific information. So I would suspect that after the first or second week of August, we would have a little bit more clarity on the date. But right now, they're zeroing in on the 1st of October because their plan is to be in New York City on that date.
Right.
And there is going to be an entourage that is sponsored. They've got like 34, 35 buses.
Wow.
Each one houses their whole 42 people. Those buses are going to contain kitchens and yurts and things that they can set up along this migration route so that they can be comfortable, everybody can be comfortable. They want this as part of the prophecy. I have heard states that all of this stuff has to be done publicly, like the public has to know about it. And I'm sensing that there's probably going to be caravans of young people who are going along for the ride here because the indigos are all hip to this. It's us old farts that can't figure things out. The kids are already on the case,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And sensing something's up. Like, you know, my kids earlier were saying to me, we're having a conversation because, you know, they are witnessing time speeding up. They can't believe that in another, you know, 2 weeks we're going to be buying school supplies and then we're going to be going back to school. And their comment to me was, Mom, school right now is such a waste. And these are not kids that have, you know, are they have learning LDs, but it has more to do with just their sense of what's going on in the world, you know,
how fast.
So these are comments coming from, you know, 12, 14, 15, 16-year-olds.
Okay.
And if they're feeling it, I know, you know, that that whole age group of kids is plugged in to a lot of what's going on. They want to be in nature. They want to be, you know, sailing or in the woods or whatever, unless they're plugged in to media. And even then, they're starting to realize they can't stay there for very long.
Well, it's interesting that you say this because the whole thing, you know, I totally agree with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the point of spending time sitting in a chair studying something that has no bearing on anything in your experience? What's
mm-hmm.
the point in that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my experience of time speeding up is like that it's going at a breakneck pace and I can't keep up with it. And I wonder if I'm going to be on time all the time. It's interesting how you manage to sort of like accelerate whether you're aware of it or not. So I'm still able to do things, but the time factor is interesting, and everybody seems to agree with it. And one of the things that is going on here with this magic, okay, that they're performing, is this comet Elenin is what they call a controlled comet, which means it's a directed comet. It's as if it has consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in other words, every time the Earth makes any kind of correction, this comet that's coming in will make a correction, okay? And it's as if something in it is aimed directly at the Earth.
Right.
And so what the elders have been trying to figure out how to do, and I don't know exactly if this is what they're going to end up doing or are doing, but they said the last time this happened, they did work that would allow them to speed up the orbital motion of planet Earth just enough to outrun this comet.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we happen to sense that time is flying, okay, I have a sense that it might have something to do with that, very much so, in the next few months. So keep an eye on that.
Absolutely.
Because they are, you know, it's funny because planets change their rate of motion all the time. Everybody thinks
mm-hmm.
everything is sort of like steady and regular, but that is not the case.
No.
And,
that's why we have Mercury retrograde, for example.
Yeah. And this is going to be interesting because there's another Mercury retrograde pattern building up the first, like I think it starts the
second or third of August. Yep.
So the 27th or so.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole month of August, everything is going to be in a state of adjustment or what do we call it? Any regulating influences that need to occur prior to all of this will be taking place during that three-week period.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting, this whole idea of like, okay, so what if it hits us? It would be great to know how to get into your heart and sort of move through it without having to go through all of that craziness. If we are narrowly missed, because it's supposed to go between the Earth and Venus, okay, if we are narrowly missed, this thing is so dense, it's only a mile wide, but it's dense, okay, and it's the density of the planet that's going to, and its velocity that is going to affect the amount of pull that it has on the gravitational field of the Earth.
Right.
And so, you know, this is so far beyond our comprehension, you know, that it's hard to imagine, okay, something like that coming along, you know, it's a mile wide, but in a sense, it's almost as if Jupiter, okay, is passing between the Earth and Venus.
Right.
Okay. And the effects of that, I mean, come on. What do you think it's going to do? What would happen if all the oceans got pulled out of their beds? I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
And
You know, I wonder too, Cal, when you're when you know you've got people like Gordon Michael Scallion or Dolores Cannon's Nostradamus map, and there's a few others who have put maps out there that are really, you know, I mean, there's a lot of similarities in what they've seen. You have to wonder if that's not some of the areas in the world that will be, what I would like to call, on a positive note, redesigned in some way,
yeah.
You know, because, you know, there's people that have seen this for quite some time, but never, I mean, we don't know how any of this is really going to play out. We're just kind of, you know, discussing here what we've heard and theorizing, but it is much wait and see, and you really have to follow your own guidance with this stuff.
Yeah, I think so too. I I'm not in any kind of panic. It's almost too much to comprehend, you know. Mm-hmm. And so if you can't comprehend something fully, there is no way you're going to go into a panic about it. I feel as if I've waited all my life for this to happen, and now it's showtime.
And what about the astrological?
You know, what's interesting about this is that, you know, Uranus, it's so bizarre. To me, it's all connected to the Uranus-Aries point stuff. Okay, because say this thing swings by and just narrowly misses us, we're still going to have a big shakeup here, and a lot of people are going to get swept away by it.
Right.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just a fact. So what my sense is, is that this will be the cosmic 2x4 that whacks everybody off the side of the head and says, hey, look, folks, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then at that point, perhaps we can begin to sort of focus, because if it does miss us, the next time it's going to come around is 2024.
I see.
All right. And because these controlled comets, what happens is their orbital motion gets tighter. So if it narrowly misses us this time, if we just so happen to outrun it and it misses us, it's going to come back in 2024. But by that time, according to the Mayans, we'll be in the fifth world.
Right.
You know, so
it won't affect
us
from their perspective.
Pardon me?
I said it won't affect us in the same way from their perspective.
No, it won't affect. We'll be home free by that time.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it's, and my hunch is that that's the way it's going to go. I don't think the world's going to end, but I sure as hell want to stay close to home. And
yeah.
High ground is the key. They say you've got to be at least 5,000 feet in the air if you want to steer clear of this. And it's interesting because a lot of the things, like, for instance, they are saying that the whole Fukushima thing was a side effect of this comet. Mm-hmm. And who knows, there's so many other crazy things going on right now. You know, and I think that whatever the New World Order is doing to mess around with the Earth grid or to play with a higher frequency is just making everything that much more complicated.
Right.
You know, because they have been doing a lot of crazy stuff, fracking the ground everywhere. I know... In Phoenix recently, we had, did you see the photographs of the big dust bomb?
No, I didn't.
Did you see it on the news? Oh, my God, it was hilarious. But at the same time, kind of sinister, because all of a sudden, one day, boom, out of nowhere, this gigantic dust cloud that's about 5 miles high and 52, 72 miles wide comes sweeping through Phoenix and dumps all kinds of dust all over the city of Phoenix. All right, now you've got to think about that. Because if you could have seen the films of this thing moving through the city, it was going, Christ, I think it was going at like hundreds of miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like something out of a science fiction movie, I swear to God. I bet a lot of people who are listening to this saw that footage of that thing. And when I saw that, I cracked up laughing. I said, what do they think of next? I said, this looks like, you know, the New World Order taking a new weapon of mass destruction out for a test drive. All right? Because to me, it was like a gigantic sleep bomb.
And God knows what was in it. I wish somebody had had the sense to do a chemical analysis of what they dropped on Phoenix. The news reports came out, well, this is just a dust storm. It's a natural thing. It happens all the time. They call it a haboob or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, give me a break. You know, dust storms aren't that big. And another one hit Phoenix again on the 19th of July. Same thing.
Wow.
And I saw photographs of people sitting around with this dust all over them, eating, you know, eating their sandwich and drinking coffee at Starbucks. And I was like, these people, everybody's so asleep. They don't even realize that they're getting sleep powder dumped on them. And I'd love to know what kind of weird ailments and respiratory diseases people are coming up with down in Phoenix. My sense was that it was a great way for them to exterminate a lot of aliens, okay, and maybe make use of all of the coffins that they've got stacked up down there at the Phoenix Cemetery. It's unbelievable what's going on right now.
Well,
it is. It's almost as if all these guys are doing, you know, even it doesn't even matter what those people are doing anything anymore, because this whole thing with Ellen is way bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting to me is, like, I don't want to harp on it because who knows, maybe it's all just a ruse, but I doubt it. But the thing is that this is the first sort of definite piece of news we've heard in a long time, you know.
Well,
and
that's what
definitely
that's
something to think about.
Well, and that's what I was saying earlier, that we feel, you know, that we've been kind of in this holding pattern for a period of time. And by the sounds of it, after your conversation with Drenvalo, it sounds like things in August, September, and October, which is when we've been told, and, you know, astrologically, there's so much happening starting in August and into the fall. I mean, we can feel that there's a buildup of something. So, you know, if it's this comet, well, then that's what it is. And if it's, you know, something else, but we can definitely feel that there's something coming to kind of accelerate the shift and almost kickstart it and get things going at almost a much deeper level. But I want to talk a little bit now about, you know, you just finished a workshop with.
Oh, yeah.
And you had some comments about the experience with that.
Yeah, well, that was, it was actually a teacher training. I mean, Drumble has been doing this incredible work for, I don't know when, he's about 13, 14 years ago, he started the Earth Sky Heart Workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And then what evolved out of that was this whole new batch of information that brought us deeper into our heart. So those workshops got renamed the Earth Sky Living in the Heart Workshop. And there's this process that he teaches in that workshop to everybody. And there's a lot of really interesting stuff that goes on in those workshops so that people can have easier access to the information that allows them to tap into their inner heart chamber and move through these changes in a way that allows them to become part of the change instead of a casualty of it. So it's kind of interesting because it's a very, very deep and moving kind of spiritual work, but a lot of things have changed in the Flower of Life organization in the past few months, and he started this whole new thing, this training that he's teaching people who have been through all of his courses how to teach his work, okay, because it's time for that information to get out there. And we were told during that workshop that the Mayans actually sent a letter and said that everybody who was present at that workshop was part of that whole concept of the ones we've been waiting for, but that they now, those specific individuals, and there were 90 people in that group,
mm-hmm.
Were invited, okay, to be part of their ceremonies, either in spirit or in person.
Right.
And so this is sort of a huge thing, because they have no reason to trust any of us, but for some reason, through their affiliation with the work that Drumvalo's done all these years,
mm-hmm.
and their connection to him, that they understand that they can trust us now. So there's a significance, you know, to the work that he is doing, and to the extent, you know, to the level to which it can support people through changes like this. Basically, his whole purpose for coming here was to help us figure out how to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
And he and the elders have the same name, you know, and there are a lot of other people who have the same name, because the people who have come on board to support this and finance this journey and these ceremonies and this whole excursion that is going to fill up the month of October,
right,
and part of September, because they're on their way now, you know, they're going to be on their way shortly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Cirque du Soleil, Elevated Films, Bono, Santana, a bunch of other big guns are putting up the money for all of this and are going to finance it all the way through.
Wow.
So that's all taken care of, which is interesting, because they had been trying to raise money for this, and I think after 2 years, you know, they had $600. So now they've got all these people. I think even Pizza Hut's in on the deal, you know, and
wow,
all of the television stations. Yeah, this thing is going to be broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And what's interesting to me, we're talking about astrology. All right. So right now, Uranus is at 4 degrees Aries. It's retrograding. By October, it's going to be moving back. It'll be about 2 degrees Aries. And through the month of October, it's going to move into an orb of conjunction with the Aries point, which, as we've talked about before, that is the point that rules all of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
It is all of us. Okay, so the planet that's moving over that point is this outlandish, eccentric, cataclysmic kind of totally off the wall planet that is also referred to as the Great Awakener.
Mm-hmm.
So the potential, every time Uranus hits the Aries point, you know, and is in other aspects, okay, that are going on right now that are just as significant. Every time that happens, there is the potential for great cataclysm, or there is the potential for humanity to wake up simultaneously.
Right.
Right now, the reason these things are going to be broadcast is because the agencies that want to do that can put that information out to millions of people simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that somehow or other they're trying to get the Cirque du Soleil people to speed up their plans to integrate what they want to do with all of this, because Cirque du Soleil had already gotten in touch with Drunk Low and said,
right,
that they wanted to do this whole thing for the 2012 winter solstice based on his teachings.
Amazing.
All right? Now, I've never been to see the Cirque du Soleil, but here they do some miraculous stuff, and apparently the guy that owns it is spiritually oriented. He's totally switched on to what's going on the planet right now with the ascension process and the indigenous people. So they are signing contracts to do this whole, you know, year-long thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where their performance centers around getting the information about the ascension out to billions of people. Now, the elders want to be involved in this too.
Right.
Which, to me, is interesting because, of course, this journey across the United States will end at the point where Uranus hits the Aries point.
In
that 11 days that everybody's making a big deal out of, you know, who knows what that's about.
Right.
But I'm sure somebody knows. I have no clue what it means, but at that point, Uranus will be retrograding over the Aries point, and if we aren't sort of completely, thrown into some kind of holocaust pattern with this crazy comet by the end of October, there is potential for all of us to be woken up at once. the last pass of Uranus over the Aries point will be in early January, and it's interesting because I found out yesterday that that's the day the Cirque du Soleil is going to come through with their announcement about what they're going to do. Now, there's all kinds of things in the works for that, so I really don't want to say anything and be held accountable for it, but I have heard that they're actually, the elders heard about it, and they actually want to have satellite dishes put up on the mountains in Colombia and wherever they are in the jungle so that they can be present at these circus performances and at these gatherings, whether they're actually there physically or not. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do, absolutely. But talk about, I mean, with the comet aside, that whole thing on its own, talk about a level of awakening that in itself would create.
Well, millions of people, this will mean that they could be all over the TV stations because all the major TV stations have gotten in on this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the lady that's, you know, drinking tea and eating shortbread at her table across the street and never leaves the house could be watching this on her television.
Right.
Okay, at the same time that everybody else is there stomping around beating tom-toms and, you know, wearing headbands and burning sage and whatever, you know. It's like they want to get this out to millions of people simultaneously, which I find interesting. The other kicker with this, if you know about Neptune, I mean, Cirilla, tell me, what's more Neptunian than a circus?
Yeah, you can't get more Neptune than that. Artistic, dreamy, totally out there.
Totally unbelievable stunts going on in front of your eyes that defy every aspect of your logical analysis, okay?
Right.
And what I find interesting is this sort of, like, ingredient has been thrown into things because, of course, Neptune just moved into Pisces. Hello?
Mm-hmm. It's home.
Neptune happens to be there, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, I just find it so interesting that we've got this Uranian thing going on with media.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And all of this sort of... just new age kind of craziness, whatever you want to call it, that's Uranian.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this whole thing of like, okay, well, we're going to really establish what we feel is, you know, the concept of a new and better world, which is also Uranian. You know, Uranus is the planet that allows us to break out mm-hmm. whenever things get too tight or too still or too rigid. And, you know, the thing with that, and so you've got the media there, you've got all the technology and the film there, and then you've got the elders coming along, and that is very Neptunian, Piscean.
Absolutely.
They're working with magic.
Mm-hmm. Spiritual leaders.
And... you know, the circus thing is there because Neptune's in Pisces, and so this Neptunian element is there to catch everybody's interest, I don't know. But it also is reflected in the fact that all of these movie stars and big celebrities, you know, are part of it because, of course, they are also ruled by Neptune.
Absolutely.
Any big rock musician mm-hmm. is ruled by Neptune, okay? And Santana and Bono, forget about it. I mean, I've been listening to Santana's music since I was 16, you know what I mean? It's totally Neptunian music. And those guys are really hip to a lot of things. I mean, I don't keep up with what they do because I have a tendency to sort of poo-poo whatever they're about. But I'm assuming now that they've got to be good people because it sounds to me like they've done a lot of good things.
Well, you know, I have a girlfriend that recently went to a Santana concert in Ottawa. And she was saying that it wasn't her, she's Spanish, so she loves the music to begin with. It's part of her culture, that whole, just the feel and the vibe and everything else. But she wasn't really keen to go to this particular concert because of the crowds and the you know, she was concerned about who it would attract, I guess. So anyway, she said that when he got on the stage, the first thing that he did was tell every person to look at their neighbor and see the love in their eyes. Yeah. And she said that as soon as that they did that, everybody looked around and so on, and it completely changed the vibration of the concert, and then the music and everything, and it was like unbelievable.
Wow.
So, you know, I think these guys are really doing good work. They're in a position where they, you know, their names, they've got the money and so on. So who better to lead us if they're heart-centered and their intention is in the right place?
No. It's just me. I mean, I'm such an old codger when it comes to certain things. And I, you know, whatever. Maybe I'm a little bit of a reverse snob when it comes to that stuff. But, yeah, no, I can trust that they're in their hearts and they're, you know, you can't do music mm-hmm. your whole life and not be in your heart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Santana's ever been in his ego. I really don't get that feeling.
No.
You know.
No.
So it'll be interesting. This is, it's hard to really talk about it in a really definite way because this has just happened. I mean, I had a conversation with Romolo on my porch on the 23rd of July.
Mm-hmm.
And he spent the afternoon here trying to sort of explain a few things to me. This is all I know right now, okay?
Right.
And what I sense is that these ceremonies that are taking place, wherever these guys are doing it, okay, and whoever they are, that out of that, we will have some information that helps us understand exactly, you know, what the timing is on this and what the outcome will be, because those guys know what they're doing, okay? The last time this happened, they were able to avert the collision,
mm-hmm.
all right? And they have bailed us out many, many times. This is the thing that's so hard for so many to believe. And that's an issue for us right now. We're all sort of like breaking through the boundaries of belief, is that it isn't, you know, the Obamas and the Tony Blairs and the Putins and the people who are in charge with and keeping the world together. It's these indigenous people
that
have never, ever, ever made themselves known to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's their ceremonies that take care of everything here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at a point right now where if we don't begin to understand that we have to start listening to these people and heeding them and doing more than that and going back into, you know, sort of moving away from the technoculture and the celebrity worship and the greed factor and the, you know, the whole greed for security issue that has nothing to do with anything, and just get back to the friggin' garden, you know?
Get back to basics.
I am telling you, yes, and I notice in my own experience where the more I do that, the more everything works.
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
Slow down. Shut everything off.
Mm-hmm.
And get in touch with what's going on inside you. Now, because there's nothing else that really matters. And I don't know what people's plans are for the next few months, but you might want to review, you know, you might want to review them. Because really what's important, okay, if we are going to be gone in 60 seconds on October 1st, I mean, I find that a very interesting thing to ponder,
mm-hmm.
you know. It's too big to imagine. I mean, when I say it, I think, okay, well, I can't even begin to imagine what that is, and that 2 months is going to feel more like 2 days because of the way time is flying.
Right.
But my sense is if we feel like time begins to speed up even more, okay, now, it's because those little guys up there in the mountains have done their work.
Mm-hmm.
You know? See, this is what we don't understand. The 13 crystal skulls, and I don't want to be redundant, but because I think I've said this in another conversation, but the 13 crystal skulls are 13,000 years old, and each of the skulls was carved for a very specific purpose by a very specific person. And at the end of each 1,000-year cycle, one very special person would be chosen to receive and hold all of the knowledge of everything that had occurred on the planet. And right before that thousand-year cycle came to a close, that person would undergo a ritual death. They would be fed an elixir,
mm-hmm.
okay, where they would go into a trance and they would die in their spirit, okay, that held all that knowledge, which
knowledge.
Enters a crystal. Those
mm-hmm.
crystals have been, you know, held by specific tribes and specific individuals for eons. Okay, there are 13 of them. The 13th one I told you earlier just arrived from Tibet.
Right.
Now, the ceremony, okay, that they have probably already done, pretty sure they had to have done this ceremony already. I could be wrong about that. The reason I think they've already done it is because some of the information that's coming out right now, they wouldn't know unless that ceremony had been performed, because the ceremony involves all 13 souls getting together, the stewards that have been chosen to be the guardians for the skulls go through this ceremony, and the spirit that entered it whenever, you know, back in the past, leaves the skull and enters the consciousness of the living elder whose job now it is to be the guardian for that information.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that the information was preserved in the skull and it is now contained in the consciousness of the guardian who is holding the skull. And they are the ones that are now sort of fully cognizant of all of the stuff that ever happened here, especially during times like this.
Right.
So they have the full understanding of what to do, okay, when the shit hits the fan.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have the full understanding of what will happen when X, Y, or Z occurs, so they can communicate that intelligently to the public and help us make decisions that will let us be able to have more to say about how we come out of this.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I mean, I don't know about you, but I have this sense when you're telling me this of gratitude for the elders and all the indigenous tribes who have been doing the work behind the scenes that we don't even know about, because, you know, modern society would have poo-pooed anything that they would have done. And the other thing is, if as I'm sitting here listening to you, I'm thinking to myself, no wonder most of us at this point in time, and you and I have discussed this, Cal, are feeling, what the heck am I meant to be doing? That we seem rudderless and in that holding pattern. Well, I guess we're in that holding pattern because we're waiting for some of these events that, you know, our higher selves know we're on the cusp of experiencing, you know, are happening. It does feel like, you know, we're holding like an airplane going over the airport, unable, you know, above the airport, unable to land. And, you know, just with what you're explaining, it does seem like energetically we're going to feel some sense of release or movement, at least, because we've been feeling this, you know, stuckness for, I would say, you know, for some people it's been for over the last couple of years, but I've heard people speak about it more, you know, going into 2011 and more specifically since the spring of 2011.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
This gives us insight because we're feeling, you know, our structures, our environment, you know, the government, the monetary system. We can all feel like it's, you know, sand shifting underneath our feet, but none of us really know what it's going to look like. And we don't know what it's going to look like. But the hopeful part of this message is that we have indigenous people that have been working on this behind the scenes, that have a lot of this history, that are holding a lot of the mystery that, you know, has been happening on this planet for thousands and thousands of years. And I really can't think of anybody more capable to lead us through this. And, you know, it reminds me of you know, the passage in the Bible that says the meek shall inherit the earth. When you think about some of these indigenous people and the way they've been sitting on top of their mountains and, you know, in very what North American culture would say very humble life experience or living circumstance, you know, and at the same time they know how to tap into this divine power in a way that we can't even imagine, many of us at this point in time. So it's incredible.
Yeah, it is. It's totally incredible. And it's interesting too, because we've had to endure the stress of so much disaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the disaster component has offered no relief, because there has been no, you know, no way to place it in a context, okay? So what is the purpose of it? And what is it really leading up to? Because it just seems like everything is getting destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's interesting that people still think about the economy, you know? I am just sort of like, it's so human, or that people are suffering because of their money issues or whatever it is that they can't figure out here.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many other things that are happening that are going to whack people off the side of the head and get them to see that, hey, you know what? Oof, our focus has been so skewed for so long.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as if I feel like we have to get shaken to the core.
Mm-hmm.
Before we're ever going to desert that belief pattern, or the belief patterns that force us into the idea that there's anything out there. All of the information that we need to get through this is inside us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been blocked off for so long, you know, about our own true nature. It's interesting, this month in the Spirit of Mad, I decided I'm going to start the August issue out with a video that I had never seen that Drumbelow did back in 2008. And it's a half an hour thing of him talking to some people in Argentina. It is the clearest expression of his work that I have ever come across. Okay.
Oh,
and I've been a student of his for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And the other morning I was listening to this, and I was listening to him talk, and I finally got things that have been confusing to me for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I want to start the issue off with that video, and if you're listening and you read The Spirit of Matt, watch this video, because it's a full explanation of all of his work, up to and including the stuff that he's doing now. And my feeling about the way he put it across, there was something going on with him that day. He was locked and loaded, and he was in his heart. And he was delivering this information in the clearest expression that I have ever seen him do. And I think the reason I wanted to put it up there is because I feel like it's a sound bite of very valuable information that will help anybody who is just coming across this information for the first time. You know, I hope that everybody has a chance to give themselves the time. It's only a half an hour. You've got to watch that video.
Well, I guess, you know what? I guess on that recommendation, Cal, we have to watch it.
Okay.
<Yeah. laughs> Because
your heart and hope die, right?
You know what? You're right. I mean, I've spoken to and interviewed Drumbelow as well, and know people who are connected with him, and I've never heard anything but how, you know, authentic and heart-centered he is. So when you give a rave review like that, I can only imagine how important it would be for us to check that out. But
I was surprised, because I'd never seen it before. You know, and I'm basically a Drumbelow nun here. I mean, it's just what I do. I laugh at that. It's kind of funny, but yeah. I've graduated from being a Drumbelow groupie to a Drumbelow nun. So now all I do is study his research, and actually it's good because it keeps me out of trouble.
Well, Cal, I think under the circumstances these days, it's a good place to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, high and dry is a good idea, and if you're happy where you are and you just want to wait this out, you know, you can go for that, too. I think the key to a lot of things has to do with just staying centered in the heart and staying out of fear. And, you know, sometimes that's easier said than done, but I think when the time comes, we're all going to know what to do.
Absolutely.
Know? Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, my perspective on death has changed so much over the last number of years. And I say, you know, if anything does happen, I'm just going to come down here again anyway. And that's my sense. So
you're gonna resurrect. Huh?
You're going to go through it one way or another, you know.
Yeah, one way or another.
Yeah, so I remain optimistic and positive about the whole thing, but it is good to have some of this information so that we just, you know, we can hold it in our consciousness and see, as you said, use our discernment and see what's right for us. But, you know, we've passed an hour already, which I can't believe, Cal. So thank you for sharing all that information with us. And for people who want to get in touch with you, if they're looking for an astrological reading or they just want to touch base with you, can you please share your information?
Yeah, sure. It's easy. My email is cal.garrison, G-A-R-R-I-S-O-N. @gmail.com. And I think this is great because, you know, up until now, I've been sort of like really over studying all of the crazy things that the heart people are doing and the government is doing to screw things up. And now I've got bigger things to think about because they're just like little mosquitoes to me at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And any damage that they're trying to do is nothing compared to what all of us are going to be facing collectively, even them.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
No one, I think, can escape this. We're all on this planet, and we're all going to figure it out together. And so that's our show for August 2011. And if we have any major updates in August, we'll be sure to connect with you for September. And I'm not sure yet who the guests will be in September, but we're just going to be in observation mode for the next few weeks and see what transpires. And so until next time, thank you for joining us today. But until next time, keep your energy flowing, everyone, and be in your heart. Namaste.